I was glad to see a few more GB T-shirts. Who's been watching the Olympics? I watched a little bit. Right, God speaks to us, we've heard today, in lots of different ways, doesn't he? He speaks to us in our hearts. He speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us in the circumstances of our lives. And I think he speaks too, just in the environment around us. And he's been speaking to me through the Olympic Games. I'd just like to pray that as I just share a few of my thoughts, that you will be able to hear him speaking to you through what's been happening through the Olympics. Oh Lord, just help us to hear you speak to each of us individually. To know what you're saying as we just reflect on what's been happening around us and in this country. That we will hear your voice and that you will teach us through what's just been happening around us. Amen. So he's been saying stuff to me. I think nearly every time I've heard commentators, they've been saying how well we've done. Don't you think we've done well? Who thinks we've done really, really well? And better, much, much better than was expected. And I thought, why have we done so much better than we were expected to? And a lot of people said, well, it's the home factor. And what is the home factor? It's encouragement. Absolutely. That is the first thing. And, you know, God's been speaking to me and saying to me, Katie, encouragement is really, really important. It doesn't make sense. How is it that athletes can be inspired by these people they don't know shouting from the stands and actually they're not listening because they're focusing on the race? But yet somehow the roar of the crowd has pushed them on further. And I don't know whether you feel you pushed them on further, but last night I was willing, Mo, to get there. Anybody else doing that? I was, come on, come on, come on, you know, and getting really excited. Francis, you said to me you got really excited. And you did. And how is it that that makes a difference? And yet I felt God was saying, yeah, it does make a difference. You know, in the Bible, we are encouraged to encourage one another. Moses was told to encourage Joshua. I looked up encourage on the, you know, the concordance and thought, yeah, he was encouraged to strengthen Joshua, to encourage him. And there was a point at which David was really down and it was affecting his troops. And Job said to him, it's time for you to encourage your people. We're told to encourage each other. And there was a verse that, I don't know how you pronounce this man, Tychicus. But Paul says, he'll tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. And I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And sometimes he sent Timothy expressly to encourage the church. He thought it's really, really important to encourage people. And I thought, how do we encourage people? Well, we know it's talking to them, but we have to notice them first. We really have to notice each other to encourage each other. And sometimes we fail to notice. We fail to notice how people are, and therefore it's quite difficult to encourage them. And this was a verse I thought about. it says rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And you need to notice how people are to encourage them. So we need to look at people's faces and say, do they need encouraging? What's going on for them? Talk to them. Encourage one another. And one thing that I thought about when I was a teacher at school, and I think one of the saddest things was at the end of the day, if there was a child in your class that was really excited about something that they had done, a picture they'd done or a model they'd done or something that they wanted to tell their mum about, and they went out of the door, ran to their mum, and then their mum saying, oh, shh, because they were talking to somebody else, or they were on their mobile phone or whatever. And it was so sad to see, because that child at that moment needed that encouragement. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, what happens when you don't give encouragement when it's really needed? And I thought, what happens quite often is that child will kick off. They'll be naughty. They'll get attention somehow because they need it. And they either do that or they withdraw into themselves because it's happened too many times and they don't think it's worth it and they don't want their heart hurt again. And it made me think about church. It made me think, what happens when we don't encourage people? We almost make a breeding ground for sin. We make it easier for people to go into bad behaviour to get noticed, or into hardening their hearts. And I thought, yeah, Lord, it's really important to encourage people. Because when we don't, they don't get built up. And they're liable to get into sin, which is dreadful. So I thought, that's the first. Oh, there's a Thessalonians there. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. And that was the first question I felt that God was asking me. Am I encouraging others? And that's for each of us. And that's for the youngest Christian to encourage the older Christians. You know, it's got to be each of us encouraging each other. Because the youngest Christians can really, really bless the older Christians. It's not just to be one way. It's really important to encourage. The second thing that I felt God was saying to me was when people were interviewed after their medals. I really enjoyed those little interviews. It was a sort of snapshot into them, wasn't it? And they were all different. But nearly all of them said, I couldn't have done it without my parents or without my family, without my friends, without my coach, without my teammates. They all acknowledged that it wasn't just them. They were the ones at the front getting the medal. But it was all the people behind them that it helped. All the physiotherapists and the coaches and the psychologists and the scientists and all those, the computer analysts that helped them to see where they were going. All those people were really important. And I thought, yeah, none of us can make it by ourselves. We all need each other. And we need to acknowledge one another. And we need to acknowledge those that are sort of behind the scenes and those at the front. We need to acknowledge them. And I thought, do you acknowledge the person that puts on the urn, that makes sure there's tea, coffee and milk, the people that wash up afterwards, the people that put out the chairs, set up the equipment, produce the news flash, the thought for the week, send the birthday cards, take the Sunday school, work the computer? all these things that are needed just for the Sunday service. The people that host the house groups, the people that lead the house groups. We need to acknowledge one another, because we actually can't do it by ourselves, and we are not supposed to do it by ourselves. I've got a verse here. I'm being really good getting verses. Jesus says, one sows, another reaps. This is true. I sent you to reap what you've not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. And I thought, yeah, with the Olympics, often people did reap some of the benefits of those that had gone before them. And we need to honor one another, acknowledge that we need them. Because if we don't do that, I thought we can slip, and I put into this horrible sin of pride, thinking that we do it by ourselves. And it's not true, is it? So the second sort of question that, honour one another, is, am I acknowledging what others do for me? Because I need people. I think we all need people. And certainly the athletes said that. The other thing that I noticed in these interviews, I really enjoyed the interviews. Who else enjoyed the interviews? Am I just by myself? It was really good just to get a flavour of the person, wasn't it? And many of them said they'd been inspired by previous athletes. And I thought it was really sweet. Did you see that photo of Laura Trott with Bradley Wiggins? Anybody see that? And she was a little girl, and there was Bradley Wiggins. And there was another one of her, a little bit older, with Victoria Pendleton. And she said, it's just, I can't believe I'm in the same team as them now. Because there she was, a little girl, and these were her heroes. And she was inspired by them. And I thought, what are we inspired by? What is inspiring us? Do we watch things about celebrities and stuff like that and think about them, how they're dressed, what they think? Where do we look for inspiration? We know really we need to look for inspiration to Jesus, don't we? He's the only one that is worthy of that. It's not only who we look to, but I think Laura Trott particularly said she was looking forward to going into the schools to inspire the next generation. So it wasn't only that she'd been inspired, she wanted to inspire others. And I thought, do I think about that? Do I think about, am I inspiring other people? Because the truth is that we are watched. We are noticed. And people say, oh, she goes to church, he goes to church. Ooh, don't think much of the way they live. Or they call themselves a Christian. And they do this, that and the other. People notice. And I thought, am I a worthy inspiration? Because Paul, I don't know how he managed to say it, but he said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's a huge ask, isn't it? And I really felt God was saying to me, do you inspire people to follow God? Is your life inspiring? Because that was something that came to me through the Olympic Games. So that's inspiration. The next thing is a bit boring, isn't it? It's training. You know, now and again they said that they put a lot of hard work in. Mo Farah said that last night, didn't he? Say it's just a lot of hard work and graft. And I think it's not just a lot, it's massive amount. And we sometimes don't want to think about that, do we? The amount of work there was to get to that place, to get a medal. And we are supposed to be in training. Do you know, the other thing that really struck me, it was not only that their bodies had to be trained, their minds had to be trained, and their emotions had to be trained. Because did anybody watch the final of the Victoria Pendleton and the somebody, Mears, in the that funny sort of sprint cycling when they mess around? Yeah. It was the first heat. It was so, so close. And they awarded it to Victoria Pendleton. And then they looked back and they said, oh, she's gone slightly over her lane. But the thing is, she'd gone over her lane because the other one had pushed her. Did anybody see that?
Yes.
And I thought, that must be hard to take. How do you get over that emotional feeling of that's not fair and run the next race? And actually she said it did affect her, didn't she? And the other person that I thought, oh, that must have been hard, was the triathlon young lad, Johnny Brownlee. And he got on his bike too quick. Oh, and he had to wait 15 seconds and watch somebody else go in front of him. That must be really, really hard. Wouldn't you, to keep your temper, to keep your emotions cool? They really have to train, don't they, to do that. Because they mustn't let that upset them. They have to carry on. And I thought, that is difficult training that they have to do, isn't it? And those that said, well, I can't celebrate yet because I've got something else coming up. I thought that's amazing training. There was one other thing I thought about the training was, I forget who it was, but the way they have to work at their weaknesses. You know, they have all these computer things and they notice, you're slow at coming off the blocks or whatever. What are you doing wrong? What are you doing right? And they work at it and they work at it and they work at it. And I thought, God, what are you telling me in this? I need to actually work at my weaknesses. It's easy to say, well, I've got a weakness. I just hope God will correct it. But I know I've got weaknesses. And I'm thinking, yeah, Lord, I need to keep praying about it. I need to keep trying to do whatever I can to overcome those weaknesses. Because they're standing in the way of me being all that you want me to be. So the training... Ooh. And here in Corinthians it says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. We are supposed to be in training. We're not supposed to just get saved and magically become better. We have to put effort in as well. It's not what saves us, but it's what sanctifies us or what makes us grow. And I've just written down here, make sure we stay in touch with our coach, who's Jesus. Make sure that we pray. And make sure that we listen. And get good food from the Bible. Read about it. Think what it says. And then I put here, healthy snacks. This is a verse that we used to have at school every end of the year, but it is so important. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And to me, that is like a healthy snack. When your mind is going the wrong way, that's the sort of snack you need to be taking. Thinking about what is good and right. And all the other thing I put down is meeting together. That is important. Jackie Pullinger said, God TV will just not do. Well, not do by itself. You've got to meet with others. That's the way that Jesus set it up. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. She said, how dare people say, I like Christians, but I don't like the church. She said, that's God's way of doing it. Do you know better than God how to do it? No, we need to meet together to encourage one another. So the next question that God was asking was, am I keeping spiritually fit? So, and then the last thing was focus. Athletes have to be focused. They know what they're aiming for. And it's interesting, actually, that not all of them were aiming for the gold. Because some of them were aiming, but there was one lad, I can't remember who it was, that said, oh, I was aiming to be in the semi-finals. And then he got to the finals, and then he got to fourth, I can't remember who it was. Yeah, yeah. But he was really pleased about how far he got. And it was really interesting last night watching the diving, because Tom Daly got a smile as big as he with the bronze medal, and the person that got the silver medal was really beat up. It was quite interesting, because for Tom Daly, I think he hadn't thought that he could get gold. So he was really thrilled with the bronze. It was really quite interesting, but he was more pleased with the bronze than the gold chap seemed with the gold. It was just interesting. But we have to fix our eyes on
Jesus.
Amen. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I thought, what is interesting about that? This came through in, I think it was one of the Jackie Pullinger's sermons, that the race is marked out for us. We have to run where God is calling us. It's not the same for each of us. And I think it was Kristen that talked about the upward call of God. For us in particular, we all have a purpose, a special purpose for us that God has made us for, that he wants us to fulfill. And that's the race that's marked out for us. And he wants us to reach there. And I think it was it him that said, many of us never reach that. we don't reach the potential that God has put in us. We sort of settle for less. We might settle for just being saved. But Jesus wants so much more for us. He wants us to reach that upward call of Christ. There's something about that that's really inspiring, that there's a race for each of us. And we have to be focused on Jesus, not focused on what other people are doing or what other people think about us, but what God thinks about us. That's the... So my next question to myself was, am I focused on following Jesus? And so I've got five questions here that I felt God was saying to me. Am I encouraging others? Am I acknowledging what others do for me? Am I inspiring people to follow God? Am I keeping spiritually fit? And am I focused on following Jesus? And as I've got into a bit of habit of doing, I'm going to give us a couple of minutes to just look at those and ask God what you're saying to me. And then hopefully some of you might be able to say to each other what God is saying to you. So just have a few minutes quiet.